Good morning and welcome to Raleigh Baptist Church this morning. We're so glad that you could join us this morning. My name's Catherine and I'm one of the church members here. And we just got at the start of our service a few things to kind of show you, some glimpses into other people's homes of what they look like while they're watching this. So first of all, we've got the Cheryls. As you can see, Callum's taking it easy there. I think maybe we might need to have some cushions maybe, or some other way of lounging around when we get back into the main church building like that. It's looking great, Callum, really good idea. Then if you've got, we're moving on, slightly different tact. We've got Alan and Vicky James taking more slightly more formal approach. I was expecting to see some Baptist hymn books on the side of the chairs, but it's looking good, guys, looking good. And obviously now we're moving on to Keith Harrison. As you can see, he's sitting in his office. And also, he's kind of got his headphones on so he can make sure he can hear everything really clearly. Moving on to the Gorels, I'm not quite sure whether Millie's got hairy legs or whether that's John's hairy leg to the side. But again, it's good to see you guys. Also, we've got some amazing creativity that's been going on. Isaac Dolan has made this fabulous pizza, possibly in response to the bread, making bread last week. Looks very, very tasty. Very excited last week to hear about baby Ezekiel, or Zeke, born to Jessica and Isaac. And we've just got a video message from them.
Hi, everyone. Hope you're all well. Obviously, we'd like to meet with you face to face, and it's a great shame that we can't do that. And we are really praying and longing for the day that we can be reunited with you all. But in the meantime, we just wanted to visually introduce you to Ezekiel here. Looking very pleased to be on camera. And we also just wanted to say a massive thank you to you all for your prayers, for your thoughts, for your messages, and for your overall support towards us. It really does mean a lot to us. We pray that you'd be blessed during this time. We pray that you'd remain healthy during this time. And we do look forward to being with you soon. God bless. Bless you.
The thing is just to remember to send in your colouring for Rosedale, just to show some support for those guys, and those are available on the RBC website. Okay, we've now got a very special guest. I'm going to hand over to Douglas now, who is going to teach us about our theme for today.
You want to know what we're talking about today in Douglas Talks? Well, you're just going to have to wait and see. Hey guys, it's me again, Douglas, and today we're going to be talking about patience. Yeah, which is really good because I need more patience in my life. I'm not a very patient person. Yeah, no, I'm always burning myself on like soup or hot cocoa or anything that's too hot. You have to blow on it before you eat. I always just try to eat it right away and I always burn my tongue. I hate that taste in your mouth that comes from burning your tongue. And also, I can barely stand it when we have to wait in line at school or something, you know, like the lunch line or something like that. I hate waiting in lines. Like, if you said, Douglas, you got to go wait in that line, you might as well say, hey, Douglas, you got to go jump in that frozen lake. Ugh, I can't stand it. I get so impatient. But really, the other day, my lack of patience really, really got the best of me because so on Saturday mornings, my dad, oftentimes he'll make us breakfast. He likes to make pancakes, and I like him to make pancakes because pancakes are delicious. But one Saturday, he made the pancake batter, but then he had to go do something real quick before he could come back and make the pancakes. And I was getting really, really impatient. I could feel my tummy rumbling, and I had cookie dough before. You know, if you have a cookie, cookies are delicious, but cookie dough is also yummy. Although even cookie dough, if it's got raw eggs in it, it can make you really sick. But it tastes yummy anyways. So I'm going to have some of this pancake batter because pancake batter is probably going to be like cookie dough. So I took a big old spoon and I put the spoon in my mouth and I ate the stuff. And oh my goodness. Pancake batter is not the same as cookie dough. I have no idea how delicious pancakes come from pancake batter because pancake batter is just this nasty, slimy goop. And I ate that nasty, slimy goop. Ugh. And if I had just waited for my dad to come back and make pancakes, it could have been a delicious pancake. But instead, that mouthful was nasty, gross, disgusting. And it seems like there are so many things in life that we have to wait for. You know, like we have to wait to be an adult to you know, have our own job and have our own house and be able to be our own boss and do whatever we want. You know, you gotta wait at school, you gotta wait at home. And, you know, Christians have been waiting for a long time too for Jesus to come back. We've been waiting a long, long time. There's so much stuff in life that we have to wait for. And the Bible says that God has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me, and he has a plan for all of us. And it's a good plan. But we're not going to get that whole plan all at once. We have to wait for most of it. And so I think one of the big reasons why God wants us to be patient is because if our whole life we're just waiting for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, we're never going to enjoy the gifts that God has given us right now. If I spend my whole childhood just wishing I was an adult, I'm not going to enjoy my childhood. I'm not going to have any fun being a kid. And if all I do is just sit around waiting for Jesus to come back, then I'm not doing my part to help make the world a better place. Yeah, and yeah, I know that God has awesome things planned for my future and for your future. But God has given us an awesome life right now that we should be living right now. And if we're impatient about what's coming next, you know, at the very best, we're just going to have a bad attitude about things. And at the very worst, if we try and, you know, jump the gun and try to not wait and do things before we're supposed to, then we might ruin things that God has planned for us. So my challenge to you guys today, and really the challenge for me too, is I hope that next time we're impatient, that next time we think we just can't wait, that we'll hang in there. You can hang in there. I can hang in there. And if we feel like we can't, we can ask God for help. Because God would love to help us enjoy the life that he has planned for us, one step at a time.
Too much, otherwise it would just go like that. And then you can use some tape or anything else to cut it. So I'm going to cut a little hole in it. Takes a while to stand up, and that's why the theme is patience. So yeah, here's a tulip flower, and sending your pictures to Rally Baptist Facebook page.
I wonder if there has been an occasion in your life when you've had a special meal with family or friends before someone you love is leaving you, possibly to move away to a new area, to emigrate, to go abroad as a missionary, or to go to university. The special meal will have provided an opportunity to get together and for the person about to leave, time to talk about and share their plans for the future. It also creates a memory, an event that you can look back to and especially remember and think about the person concerned. This is exactly what Jesus did at the end of his life. Before leaving this earth, he wanted to hold a special meal with his disciples, those he had spent much time with during the previous 3 years. Luke, one of the gospel writers, records that Jesus said, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer." And this was at the time that the Jews celebrated Passover, a time of remembering God's miraculous delivery of their ancestors from the tyranny of the Egyptians. The Passover meal provided Jesus with the opportunity to talk to his disciples about his future. Towards the end of the meal, Jesus took a loaf of bread and gave thanks, as was the custom, and then he broke it and gave it to the disciples. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus was telling them, whilst using the symbol of the bread, what would happen to his body. He said it would be broken for them. Jesus then took the cup of wine and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The wine symbolized Jesus' blood, which would flow from his body when very soon he would be crucified. A covenant in the biblical sense is a relationship between man and God. In the Old Testament, the Jewish sacrificial system was designed to restore the relationship which had been broken by man's sin by offering a sacrifice of animals. By Jesus' life and death, he made possible a new covenant or relationship between us and God which will continue forever in this life and the next. No further sacrifices are required. Jesus told his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. And ever since then, the disciples, the early Christians, and Christians throughout the last 2,000 years have continued this practice, which is what we are following today. So, if you know and love Jesus as your Saviour and Lord, wherever you are invited to join in this simple meal with us. If you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus and want to give your life to him today, you can do so in a moment when we have a time of quiet prayer. In your own words, just talk to God. Thank him for his love for you. Thank him for sending Jesus to die for you. Say that you're sorry for the things that you have done wrong, which have separated you from him. Ask him to come into your life by the Holy Spirit and live with you forever. The Apostle Paul commanded us to examine ourselves before we eat the bread and drink the wine. So now we'll have a short time of silence to enable us all to ask God to show us anything that we need to put right with him. Dear God, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to die for us. We thank you that although he lived a sinless life, a life that was totally motivated by love, he was willing to go to the cross and be crucified for us. We thank you that on the cross he became sin for us, and that by his blood that poured out, our sins are forgiven and we can enjoy new life with you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have now to eat bread and drink wine or juice to remember this wonderful sacrifice. Amen. On the same night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus then took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Jesus, you endured my pain. Saviour, you bore all my shame because of your love. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your love, my sins are washed away. Thank you that we have new life in you and a certainty that we will live with you forever. Hallelujah, what a saviour. And may we go into this week sharing your love with those we meet. Amen. If you did pray during this time, giving your life to Jesus, we'd love to hear from you. Please contact us. The details will appear on the screen. Thank you.
Good morning. There are two types of people, I think. Those who like jigsaw puzzles and those who don't. I don't know which one you are. I enjoy them, but it's very rare for me to finish one, unfortunately. I've had this puzzle for about 3 years now. I've started it at least four times and it's still never been completed. I follow the rules, you know, find your corners. I just happened to quite easily find two corners this morning. Not bad start. Then what's the next rule? Yeah, well, I hope you said find the edges, because that's the next step. I find all the edges, and then I push the rest away, and then I work my way through the edges, trying to match the corners to create the outline of my finished jigsaw. What is it about jigsaws that people like? I often take my kids to the library in Rayleigh, and there's usually a jigsaw puzzle on a table. You can add a few bits as you're in there. And I always wonder, is it the end result that people enjoy? Because what do you end up with when you do a jigsaw? You end up with a nice picture that's got lots of lines and funny shapes coming through it. Not the best thing to look at. If you wanted a nice picture, why don't you just buy a picture? The point of a jigsaw, I think, for me anyway, is the idea of a journey. It's you persevering, trying to fit together all the different pieces, working together to find that final image. There's joys when you find two pieces that fit together. There's sorrow when you find out that those two pieces that you thought fit together didn't actually fit together. You've got the exuberance and the excitement when you find out that there's pieces that are so different, they're easy to find and fit together. And then you find they've got 20 squares of stars or grass or sky, and you could just put them together in any sort of order. But once you get to the end, once you've finished that jigsaw, you get a strange feeling, like you do with any sort of puzzle, of satisfaction of knowing that you persevered, you waited, and you got the right result in the end. I could open up a box, throw it on the table and think, I don't want this journey. I just want the finished picture. What could I do? Well, there's a few options. I could pay someone to do it for me. And therefore, I don't have to worry about struggling for all those little bits and pieces. But then I'll miss out on the joy of knowing that I completed the puzzle. See, a jigsaw gives the promise of a final product. This is what you'll have, says the front of the box, when you finish all the pieces joining together. But sometimes, instead of us wanting to join the pieces together, we just want to skip all that. We want the end result. We want the promise of the picture now. And we do anything to get rid of that journey of putting the jigsaw together ourselves. In our story today, Abraham and Sarah had the promise of children, and they took matters into their own hands. How often do we do that? We receive a promise from someone and we take matters into our own hands.
Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. he slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I am running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beelaharo. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael.
The sermon series we're looking at is all about a faith journey of Abram. And what a journey he goes on. I encourage you to just read the whole story of Abram from start to finish. Even though we haven't finished a sermon series on it, just look at how Abraham's faith changes. Each time he makes a little mistake, he learns and grows from it. Eventually, we will learn and read about the story of him and his son Isaac. And he is asked to sacrifice Isaac. And not to take away from whoever's sharing that story that day, but he does it without any form of arguments. And there's elements in that story which show he was fully prepared to take the life of his own son because God had asked him to. And that's where he ends up. That's faith. But we're not here at this moment. In this story, he doesn't have that faith yet. He's got a lot of faith in God, but not the obedient, completely trusting faith that God asks us to have. You see, God didn't promise Abraham and Sarah children to have children. He promised them children because he wanted them to have faith and hope and trust in him. But they didn't do that. They made the wrong mistake. But they didn't do that. They made the wrong choice and decided to take God's promise. And instead of waiting for it to happen in God's time, they did it for themselves in their time. Let's think about the promises that Abraham received. He was promised the inheritance of the land. He was promised to be the father of many nations. And he was promised to have eternal blessing and redemption with God the Father. Now, I would like to think that if God promised those to me, I would have the faith big enough to trust and believe that they would come true. I'm sure Abraham did too. But the thing is, we start looking at promises from the viewpoint of human eyes rather than godly eyes. And when we do that, we start to think and put our trust in the things we can see rather than the things we cannot see. And what did Abraham see at this point? Well, he was in the promised land, but it wasn't milk and honey. It was quite a barren land at this point, not very vegetation, not a very nice place to live, lots of enemies around. How was this a place where he was going to live? He's going to be the father of many nations. Well, he hadn't had any children at this point. And this was a sticking point with his wife Sarah as well. They weren't spring chickens anymore. and they started to look at this situation from their own eyes. We're getting old, we're getting on a bit, we have no children, God's given us his promise, but we can't see how it's going to come about. We cannot see how God will make this happen. They start using their humanity and preventing their faith and trust in God to come out. You see, the difference between our promises and God's promises is that God comes true on every promise he makes us. And we might not see it, but God's promises are always true. And despite our intentions, the promises that we often make as humans are not always the promises. They don't come out the way we think they should do. Just like a jigsaw puzzle, God promises what's on the front of the box. In this story, Abraham takes what God has promised and he cannot wait. He cannot be patient. He wants that promise now. Now, it might not be, his motivation isn't necessarily being greedy and selfish. His motivation is he's looking with human eyes and going, I'm getting old. I'm not going to be able to have children. My wife is getting old. She won't be able to have children. What's going on? We need to do something about this. Why does he do this? He does it simply because there's pressure to fulfill the promise. He's listened to poor advice. Now, I spoke to my wife, Catherine, about this. I'm not going to go down this route of wives being bad advice, because it's not about his wife giving bad advice. It's bad advice from anyone with regards to God's promise. He consulted his wife, and his wife went, no, it's not going to work. I am not going to bear you children. Why don't you have my servant girl as your wife and let her bear you children? And he listened to that advice, that bad advice. He didn't weigh it up. The Bible doesn't say he spoke to other people, and he might have done. But when we listen to bad advice, then we start to lose sight of God's promise and start to trust in ourselves. Unresponsive prayer. How many times have we prayed for something and we haven't heard God, or the thing that we're praying for hasn't happened? Abraham and Sarah weren't just sitting around. They were praying for children. That is what you had in those times. You were supposed to get married and have kids. And that had not happened to Abraham. So the pressure of not having children was great, especially with this promise on their shoulders. I'm sure he would have told people about this promise. He would have been really excited to receive it. And now he's at a state where he's like, what's happening? Come on, Lord, we're praying for this and it's still not happening. And we start to look for human solutions. And there's other pressures as well. There's social pressures. You know, husband, wife, not having kids. It's not right. The stigma of not having children back then was even bigger than it is today. When people get married, the expectation is that kids will come. But back then, it was the absolute necessity that they had to have children. So not just the fact that God had promised them children, just in society. So there's lots of pressure on them. And we have to admit that when we feel the pressure, our faith is pushed and tested. And sometimes we make the right choices, and sometimes we make the wrong choices. I can't multitask. I think I'd rather talk to you than try and get on this jigsaw puzzle. So I might be waiting a bit before it's finished. 10 years Abraham and Sarah had been waiting for children at this point, and they had to wait another 15 years before they were given a son. They were impatient. They were getting tired and they couldn't wait. See, having faith and trust in God is one thing. We can all say we have faith in God. But having the faith to be patient and wait for his promises, that's another ballgame entirely. Buy now, pay later. credit cards, loans, credit, hire purchase. All these things are thrown at us so we can have something now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to save up the money. We don't have to persevere. We don't have to do all the hard things. Just everything we want now. And we think it's a new thing, but no. But think about this story. 2,000 years ago, Abraham's in this place where he has the option to have what he wants now. Here, take my servant girl, have her as your wife, bear children through her. Okay, said Abraham, I will do what you think I should do. There's a similar story that Jesus tells us in Luke 15 about a son who couldn't wait for his inheritance, couldn't wait for that promise. So he said to his father, I want it all now. Give it to me now. And he does so. And the son spends it all, becomes penniless, broke, and eventually comes back a broken man. And that story that Jesus tells us gives us a glimpse of how God responds when we say, I can't wait for you. What you want is not good enough for me. I want it now. And it's hard because it could be money, it could be money problems, health, being sick, seeing a loved one hurting. You want that pain to be over. And we ask ourselves, God, why do you let this happen? But God doesn't let it happen for us to do things in our own terms. When the son returned home to the father, he ran. Fathers didn't run in those days. He gave him a big hug and he threw a big feast to celebrate his son coming home. In this story, God could have punished Abraham, Sarah, Haggai, and Ishmael. He could have said, you have done wrong against me. You have not waited. You're impatient. Enough. I've had enough of you all. That's it. Gone. No more promises, Abraham. That might be what we might have done when we've had a promise stolen from us, or someone said they'll do something and it hasn't happened. I've let many people down by saying I'll do things and not doing it. Likewise, I've blessed many people by doing the things I've said I'll do. And there's various reasons why I've let people down. But when we let God down, he comes running towards us, gives us a big hug and says, we're going to have a party because I love you. There will be a time when Jesus calls me home. And I'll be in eternal glory in heaven. No more pain, no more suffering, joy. It'll be like unlike anything I've ever known or experienced. And I look forward to that day. But I'm on a journey to get to that point. I can't rush it. I'm not in control of it. I have to wait and trust in that promise that one day God will be with me in paradise, in heaven. But until then, I'm on a journey of joys, of finding jigsaw pieces in my life that fit together, things I'm supposed to do, how to help people, how to share the gospel, how to reach out. And there'll be times when I find two pieces that I fit together and convince myself they fit, even when they don't. And there'll be times when I have a piece and I just don't have a clue. I'll just be lost. I have no idea where this fits in. Doesn't mean I get rid of the jigsaw puzzle. Doesn't mean I can start again. It just means I have to be patient and journey and put my faith and trust in God, as we all have to do. We're going to hear a story now from two of our members, Steve and Annie, friends, our South African friends, I'm sure a lot of you know, and they're going to share a bit of their story.
Good morning. I'm Steve.
And I'm Annie. Here is our testimony for obtaining our indefinite leave to remain. It was a long process of more than 6 years to obtain our indefinite leave to remain. Firstly, setting our goal and heart's desire to immigrate to the UK and reunite Steve with his family. There are three major steps within this goal. Firstly, to obtain an ancestral visa, a process of about 9 months. Then, indefinite leave to remain, a further process of more than 5 years from date of entering the UK, and finally citizenship, a year after approval of our indefinite leave to remain. Each step had its own list of requirements and milestones that we had to achieve, and that involved a lot of thorough planning, discipline, perseverance, and waiting. And waiting. There are no shortcuts, no quick fixes. The waiting was on the authority's timescale, not ours. And the most important part of the journey was to be part of a Christian family that could walk the path with us, praying and encouraging us. Otherwise, this long journey could have overwhelmed us, and at times it almost did.
Back in 2014, when we received our ancestral visa, we had to be in the UK within 90 days after the approval, and we knew that there was a direct path we would have to take to obtain our ILR, and that it would take just over 5 years to complete the process. As Annie mentioned, on this path, there were various requirements and milestones that we had to pass. This included the Life in the UK test, an 80% pass rate, and the English language test. We couldn't skip, drive, run, or chase any of these milestones. One might say they were set in stone. God provided everything we needed for each milestone we encountered. We had to be patient, and we had to ask the Lord and trust the Lord for his provision. In this time, the prayers and support of the family and our spiritual family were absolutely essential. Finally, after 5 years, our application was ready to submit. We were told by our solicitor that we could wait up to 6 months before we could get an answer back. However, in her experience, it was taking 10 to 12 weeks. This was prior to lockdown. 6 weeks after we had submitted our application for ILR, the UK went into lockdown. Nobody could tell us when we would get any answer or any feedback, not even our solicitor. And in an absolute delight and all glory to God, 11 weeks after we had submitted our application for ILR, God came through for us in an astounding way. Our ILR had been granted to us. We were really, really grateful to the Lord. In every step of this journey, we could see God's provision. For instance, when we did our original application for the ancestral visa, it took 8 days from submission. This meant we arrived 6 to 8 months earlier than expected in the UK. If this had not happened, it would have been a good possibility that we would have never been able to own our own home. God's timing is always perfect, but we have to wait and rest in his provision and his timing. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye.
Our faith journey is all about our redemption with God. It's about God giving us his promises and us living those promises, waiting, journeying, not for our own sake, but for Jesus' sake. And it's not a personal journey. It's a journey that involves others, where we share our journey, we share their journey, and we help them by finding their jigsaw pieces, finding the corners, finding the edges, sorting out what goes where, not in our strength, but in God's strength. I think it's good that we can learn about Abraham's faith as he waits and as he learns. My prayer is that in these times of lockdown and uncertainty, that we can learn to be patient and wait. Put our faith in God, our trust in God, and our patience in God. Steve and Annie could have gave up at any point. They've had fight after fight, but they persevered and God gave them their blessing and their promise. And there's many of us who can share similar stories. And that's why God puts us through it, to share those stories. So my prayer for you this week is you get the chance to share a faith story with a colleague, a neighbour, a friend, someone in your family.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that your promises are true. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that you see us just as you saw Hagar. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us opportunities to share those amazing promises with other people. Pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning in our time together. If you've got any photos or anything you'd like to share, please feel free to email us because we'd love to see those so we can share them with everybody else. Take care, stay safe, and have a good week.